I've never stuck an electric toothbrush in my ear, though. It actually wigs me out a little bit when he does it.
Well, up your nose, too, right?
Yeah, both of those things. It's like when at the doctor's office when they're looking, it's a little nerve-wracking. But the ears, man.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Ted, how's it going tonight?
It's going all right. Still some sickness in the family, but we're working it out.
Yeah, just all right, huh?
How about you?
Well, my wife had some, I don't know if it was a holiday party or if it was a friend from work who moved into a new house party. I think that's more like the story, but I'm half lubed. We'll see how this goes.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what do we have in store for us tonight?
Tonight is Paddington 2.
Paddington 2.
I think there's a bunch of trailers out there, but we decided on the U.S. trailer, right? I think it's 2 minutes, 17 seconds.
I think the U.S. trailer speaks to our audience more appropriate. I mean, I know there's an international trailer, but the U.S. is a good one.
So cool. Any opening thoughts on that? Or
Overall, I would say that, I was looking at the way it presents in the beginning, and the film's brought to us by Warner Brothers Studios and then Studio Canal, which I was a little confused. What is Studio Canal? Looked it up, and Studio Canal is an international distributor, so probably doesn't affect us here in the U.S., but Heyday Films is a British production company most notable for Harry Potter series. They've done other things, but the beginning is Paddington peeking through the mail slot, kind of introducing himself. How about you?
So, yeah, I think it's an interesting way to get into the trailer. He's writing a letter back to his aunt, and that's kind of introducing us again to Paddington. Did you see the original, the first movie?
You know, I haven't. My kids have.
Okay.
So I have not.
It's an interesting take to see, like, someone, my family, we saw it all as a family, and we all loved it for different reasons, I guess. Be interested to hear how
you... What are some of the reasons?
Yeah, definitely. So the first movie, it has this artistic flair to it, you know, a fun, easy, hijinks kind of story, and just high production value across the board. So, well-made sure. Movie. A little unexpected, didn't expect so much from it, so the expectations were low. So going into it, you know, when you get anything above average and your expectations are low, it's a bonus. So I think...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think with this movie, expectations are pretty high if you've seen the first one. I think the first one got good reviews both by the audience and by the critics. So... probably expecting a lot out of this one.
So last week, as we were closing out, you mentioned Paddington 2 would be a four-quadrant movie.
Yeah, so...
I kind of refrained from looking up Google to see what four-quadrant movie was.
Yeah.
But can you talk to us a little bit about a four-quadrant movie? I'm sure some of the listeners are probably asking the same question. Like, what in the world is that?
Definitely. So... in marketing a movie, you want to figure out who the audience is. And the general breakdown of a movie is a four-quadrant movie. And it's a little dumbed down, I think. I think there's definitely more than four groups of people. But generally speaking, it's males under 25, males over 25, and then females under 25 and females over 25. And, of course, that's an overgeneralization, but... when you say it's a four-quadrant movie, at least in my circles, it just means that it's hitting all the people that are out there to watch movies. If you want a movie to do well in the box office, the more quadrants you can hit, the more potential audience members that you can get to go see it.
Let me clarify. So what you're saying is Hollywood has broken down society into four quadrants. Males and females under 25 and males and females. So a 90-year-old woman is going to say like, oh, yeah, I fit the demographic of a female who's 26.
Yep. No, see, that's why I say it's an oversimplification. But it's a shorthand way of saying that we want to hit everyone. We want everyone to go see this movie. We want the 90-year-old woman to feel nostalgic about this time frame, the look of the film. And we want kids to go to it because they think Paddington is funny. And we see he's getting into trouble with his window washing service through the trailer. And just, you know, the various hijinks. And he's riding a dog as a horse and, you know, getting into trouble in jail. Of course, the cinematic jail where everybody's wearing striped jumpers and stuff. So not a very lighthearted jail.
It's not prison.
Not Orange is New Black. Yeah, nothing like that.
Yeah, you know, I think this movie starts off, or well, I should say this trailer starts off, when we jump into the four quadrants, who is it looking at? And I think everybody, young, old, male, female, whatever the demographics are looking at it, I think everybody looks at it at the humor, what, you know, starts off with your toothbrush, because, you know, probably most everyone has had experience with an electric toothbrush, good, bad.
I've never stuck an electric toothbrush in my ear, though. It actually wigs me out a little bit when he does it.
Well, up your nose, too, right?
Yeah, both of those things. It's like when at the doctor's office when they're looking, it's a little nerve-wracking, but the ears, man. Oof.
Well, I kind of had the thought, you know, if you look at a marketing sense, I kind of had the thought, you know, everybody brushes their teeth.
Yeah.
And when we look at electric toothbrushes, I've had experience with it. I don't use one on a regular basis. Maybe I should. I don't know. The dentist never said anything. But the other side of it, too, is a lot of people have dogs. We have a dog. I don't think you have a dog.
Nope.
But when you rub the dog's ear, I mean, he has that look like, you know, I mean, he gets that look on his face like, oh, yeah, this is heaven right here. Keep tickling and rubbing my ear. And that's kind of what I got out of the nose, on the other hand, not really. But what I got out of it was electric toothbrush, animals, and we all love to be massaged in the places that relax us the most. And behind the ears on an animal is probably the best way. And in the ears of an animal is probably the second best way.
Yeah, I mean, you completely suspend the disbelief about the fact that this is a CG bear, right? Like,
right,
you buy into the fact that this is a bear. I mean, it's not the level of CG animation like Planet of the Apes, but it's up there enough that you don't even think about it, which is important.
Well, and yeah, I mean, it completely anthropomorphizes, you know, this bear to say, yeah, he's an animal, but he's totally human.
Yeah. I mean, he has that breakfast conversation with the Brown family and, you know, he's in
he's talking to the dude about being old.
Yeah. He's in the family. He's in the know. He's, you know, he's loving his marmalade, which I guess you wouldn't know unless you saw the first one, but that's his thing. That's what's dripping out of that.
But why is he wearing the red hat constantly?
Oh, that's his look. That's his shtick. That's the Paddington from the cartoon back in the day.
That's his shtick. But yeah. So the one thing is the trailer, I think, does a good job of going from lighthearted humor.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to figure out how he fits into this movie, the family, you know, the teeth brushing thing like we talked about. And then he meets the dude at the store. Yeah, the book is what the movie is made about.
The book is central to the movie, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guy in the store who tries to sell him the roller skate with the wing, you know, he says, hey, here's a book, and this book is a one of a kind. You know, that kind of sets the stage for where we are and then leads up to the crime scene with the guy stealing the book.
So I think this is definitely a trailer that's split into two halves. So the first half is all lighthearted, all the things that you remember about the first movie, the hijinks, the couple of funny scenes, a couple of jokes here and there. But then it quickly changes when we know that the general plot of this film is going to be about getting the book. Then it tells you that it's from the company that brought you Harry Potter. And that quickly changes the mood, the music, or the pace, everything of the trailer changes right at that halfway, around the halfway mark. And we see the book getting stolen and we know it's not Paddington, but then for the rest of the trailer, Paddington's on the hook for having stolen the book and not,
he's framed.
Yeah. He's framed to, for being the thief when we know it's actually Hugh Grant, you know, and it's kind of all given away in the trailer. So it's a question of like, there's no spoiler to it. That's not important to the movie. The thing that's important to the right. movie is the hijinks and Paddington's interactions with his cellmates, with the Brown family, with Mr. Gruber, I think it is. In the end also with Hugh Grant. So I think it's just seeing Paddington in situations is the reason that people go see these movies. And they just know at points throughout the movie, you'll be awed by the art of the pages of the book. You know, when he opens the book, it starts to come to life and he kind of steps into the book. So when you see the double-decker bus in London, you see Paddington walking around in that space with the folded paper, and it's just kind of this mise-en-scene, and it's like the life of inside the movie that you suspend all disbelief and you just believe, you throw yourself into the movie along with Paddington, along with the Brown family and with everyone.
So in other words, what you're saying is the character of the bear is more important than this, the plot line of the story, and for why a lot of people might see this movie.
Yeah, it's really about the humor and about how many different things can Paddington get into.
Right, the hijinks that happens along the way. The one thing that I was wondering, obviously he's going to prison. I mean, it clearly shows that in the trailer. And he's wanted for being framed for stealing, you know, this one-of-a-kind book. And obviously it must have magical powers. Well, okay, obviously it has magical power. I mean, we have a talking bear, and the guy throws a poof of smoke, and next thing he disappears. So, yeah, there's magical powers. But the point about it is, why do you think, from what we could tell in the trailer here, why do you think that the shop owner doesn't go to bat for the bear who's framed for stealing the book?
Yeah, see, and I don't get hung up on that. I think that's like a plot point, and it'll either be addressed or not addressed, and it's not important to me.
Okay.
as a trailer viewer and even as a moviegoer, I'm sure it'll be wrapped up a little bit better in the movie, but as far as the trailer goes, I don't think we see Mr. Gruber through the rest of it, so who knows what happens to him, but I hope he's okay. It's not important to the rest of the trailer.
Right around that point, Hugh Grant makes his appearance, and he's been in a lot of films in the past, but he's I don't want to say typically, but he's often played that snag, you know, the sensitive new age guy. And all of a sudden now, here he is playing the villain. I mean, is this a breakout role for him, or, you know, all these years
no,
later?
No, I think this is right in his wheelhouse. I mean, a villain in Paddington is, you know, not very much of a villain. So it's going to be lighthearted, even the villainy.
So Paddington, you know, they go through the hijinks. He's the window washer and kind of falls off the scaffolding or the swing stage, as it were. And the bucket lands on his head. Next thing you know, he's pretending like he's washing the windows and he's doing the whole thing he's doing. But landing in prison, whether the punishment fits the crime or not, for my opinion, you know, stealing a book, one of a kind, magical, I don't know. But he's framed for stealing the book. After that scene, though, the trailer swings back. It becomes humorous once again. All of a sudden, it shows him in prison. Again, like I said, does the crime fit the punishment? But when he says, it's just a red sock, won't hurt anything, and all of a sudden all the inmates are pink striped with or pink and black striped, I got to admit, though, that was pretty funny. I had to have a chuckle.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows the scope of the movie. Paddington made 100 enemies that day washing their laundry, and yet in the end, we, as a fan of Paddington's, we know he's going to endear the hearts of all those inmates. And in the end, the inmates will be cheering for him, if not helping him escape to help his family clear his name.
So you're thinking that the inmates help him escape?
There's a scene of a hot air balloon with some of the inmates and Paddington. You know, we know that there's, you know, throughout the whole second half, the last quarter of it is all about just Paddington bringing everyone together. So that's always what a Paddington movie is about. We can be different, but we can support each other.
The other thing I want to say too is minute 35, more in that range, says everyone's favorite bear. Probably not Hugh Grant's favorite bear.
Yeah, about 30 seconds in, if they're talking about everybody's favorite bear, it's definitely talking to the audience, not talking
absolutely. No, I get that. I get
the
that.
Characters. Yeah. And it's not Nicole Kidman's favorite bear either, who was the villain in the first movie.
Oh, spoiler alert. Jeez, I haven't seen it yet.
It came out in 2014, so I think spoilers alerts off for that.
2014? Okay, yeah, you're right. It's a few years. You know what, though? I noticed it's all over on streaming. Like, I think I saw it on Netflix or something. I'm probably going to watch it with my boys before we see it in the theater. Before we go any further, you think you're going to see this one?
Definitely going to see this one.
You're definitely going to see this one. Wow, I like the confidence.
Yes.
Yeah. Opening weekend or?
You know, we have a busy schedule, so yes, we'll see it in that first frame. Opening weekend, maybe second weekend, but still within
that. Okay. Okay.
How about you?
I'm gonna say we're probably not gonna see it opening weekend. But what I do want to do, like I said, is I want my boys to see it. I'm going to sit down and watch it with them. You know, I'll cajole the wife into coming. And then lately, they've been liking popcorn whenever we do anything in front of the screen. So I'll make some popcorn. We'll watch it. And then, yeah, I think we'll go see this one in the theater, though.
The art of the first one is definitely more enjoyable in the big screen. So it's one of the movies that you feel better when you see it on the big screen because somebody took the time to build the sets and to design the animation, the CG animation of the animated pop-up book. Everything about it is better, bigger. Before we go any further, I was thinking of throwing in like a new segment here. Does that sound fun? We'll do something a little different.
Yeah, what's your new segment?
I wanted to give some news on new trailers that I see popping up here and there. I'm getting a lot more trailers pushed to me because I'm watching them a lot more regularly. Before we do that, I wanted to say that it looks like Molly's Game, which we reviewed a couple weeks ago, has been pushed up to Christmas. So as kind of a counter-programming, not a lot of, you know, adult movies out for Christmas, it looks like it's going to be the go-to movie for a Christmas weekend. So that's kind of an interesting thing to see the billboards come. And I know that when we were watching the trailers, we had all thought it was all said like wide release in January, but it seems like it got pushed up a little bit. And then also to say there's a lot of new trailers about true stories. So we have A Miracle Season, which is a sports tragedy kind of movie. It seems a little sad. It's interesting to see all the true life stories. And then I don't know if you remember, Jimmy, a while back there was a train in Paris that was hijacked.
Yeah. They're making a movie out of that.
And some American soldiers were on the train and they thwarted that. So they thwarted the hijackers. So they're making a movie out of it. It's a new Clint Eastwood directed. And you'll love this because we were talking about this last week. It's called The 1517 to Paris. So, again, it's kind of a military movie.
More numbers.
Numbers in the title. I'm not a Clint Eastwood fan, so that legacy sell on me did not work. Really? However, yeah, I'm not a Clint Eastwood.
Let me ask, what don't you like about director. Clint Eastwood?
His directing style to me is a little slow. Not a fan of Million Dollar Baby.
I was going to ask. Like Million Dollar Baby, huh?
Million Dollar Baby and Space Cowboys. I think Space Cowboys really turned me off. Okay. And then just in general, I think his style, I mean, I guess
Unforgiven.
Kind of liked. That was probably the best shot he had at getting me. And it didn't really grab me. But this one looks really good because it shows, you know, it's like we talked about last week. It feels like you're going to just live within the train and within the events of that day. And this really talks about the lifetime friendship of these two guys who grew up together and wanted to be soldiers together, end up going to the military together. And then they're traveling on their train together, and they have to, you know, use their training. And then the two other things that I wanted to mention that we probably won't get to mention is Star Wars Last Jedi, which came out last week, and doing gangbusters, of course. But then it's followed up quickly and kind of orthogonally by Bright. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm very excited about Star Wars and really love that. But I'm very excited about Bright, which comes out tomorrow, December 22nd. And it's a Netflix movie, and it's releasing on Netflix. But it's got Will Smith, Joel Egerton, and it just feels like a big action blockbuster on your phone. So
yeah.
But I just think it's interesting to say that they're putting the pedal to the metal and really, like, spending that money to make the big blockbuster, regardless of where you see it.
Netflix,
yeah.
And yeah, you're right. It is a little bit too late to review some of these. And looking at a weekly podcast, we come out every Thursday. You're right. We're going to miss out on some of these. I think we should have our primary review every week, and then we have our honorable mentions that we can say, you know, here's what's coming out. Here's what we're not able to review. Maybe we can just touch on, you know, a minute or two of each. One thing I wanted to talk about too that I noticed is you mentioned The Shape of Water, and last week we did 12 Strong, and I mentioned how Michael Shannon was stereotyped in Boardwalk Empire, at least for me he was. And here he is showing up in this one, you know, The Shape of Water. So I don't know. Just kind of interesting how I make that comment and you said, well, he's been in a whole bunch of other things. Or you said something to that effect. And I said, yeah, but I've only seen him in the scene because I binged watched it. And here he is in the next movie, or in another movie we talked about the following week. And I guess he has been in a lot of other things. For some reason, though, it's...
He's a hot actor right now.
And for some reason, though, it's one of those things where it's the first time you see him... You know, it's like that first impression. The first impression sticks.
It definitely happens more to TV actors than film actors. And then, like you said, the binge watching just adds another level of intimacy where they're, you know, weaving themselves in and out of your consciousness. If you're watching them for like 4 hours straight, then they've connected with your subconscious in a way that you don't even
completely
realize. So I mean, like they used to say, like TV actors can get into your head more because they're in your house and you're in your living room when you're watching them, not going to a special different place like movie stars, and you go see them on the big screen and there's some separation there. So the less and less separation there is between you and the character, the more likely you are to typecast them. And I think they even say like child actors too are even more likely to get typecast into a role because they have the role kind of forms there.
It becomes emotional.
Yeah, it forms who they are as a human being, you know, because they're growing throughout the role.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good segment. We can talk about what's new and upcoming week to week.
Yeah.
You know, in and out of the trailer that we're doing. For Paddington, though, just looking at it, I think we covered it okay. One thing I wanted to talk about towards the end, and so if we look at, you know, Warner Brothers doing this, we look at the release date and so on, it looks like January 12th it's going to be coming out. But knowing that Paddington is the window washer, he takes the squeegee, wipes away January 12th.
Yeah.
You think they had a change of heart?
No, that's what we call in the industry, we call it toolkit. So they always send out, if you're making promos, you're making spots around the release of a film, they'll give you toolkit. And it's a mixture of superimposed graphics and different cuts of the movie where they do rotos of characters. So you can use it and cut it together to do whatever you want with it. So that's part of a what they call a toolkit. And you could put anything you want up there, and they used it in the trailer. We would use it on a promo if we're doing a special stunt weekend of Paddington stuff. You know, we could say coming this, you know, the special Paddington 2 night coming this Friday, and then have Paddington come up and wipe it off. Toolkit can be well done. This is pretty well done. Some toolkit can be cheesy, you know, sometimes yeah. It's overused. It's a mixed bag. If you use it too much, and if it's all toolkit and you don't have a lot of film footage, then it kind of screams like it's not really ready to be a full marketing piece, I think.
The way I understand it is you're saying it wasn't a full marketing piece and they decided it was time to using it as humor?
No. I think in this trailer it's used well. I'm just saying in some...
Okay.
Yeah, it was used. It was properly motivated.
Oh, I see.
I'm talking about like 15 and 30 second TV spots.
Gotcha.
Where they just use wall-to-wall toolkit. And then if they're doing that, then it's like, how are you going to string together toolkit and tell me the story of the story? Here it's just a piece of flair put at the end, adds a little more humor to the spot. As a pure marketing thing, I thought it was a little bit of a mistake to have the date up there and then take the date off, because if I was looking away or something like that, then maybe I missed what the date was and it looks like a blank end page. Looks like a mistake after it. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said,
yeah.
It's January 12th.
Exactly.
They wipe it away.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not January 12th. I don't know.
Or is it? Yes.
Yeah. Did they change their mind? So what are your overall impressions of this trailer?
I think it is a great representation of what I hope to see when we go see Paddington 2.
Like nothing phases his optimism.
Right. He's almost too simple. He's almost too simple to be concerned with what goes wrong.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I think it looks cute. I'm sure it's going to be fun. You know, it looks like it's lighthearted humor.
Oh, so let me do my three-word review. I don't know how people are finding that.
Ted's infamous three-word review.
So I think for this, we're going to go with Paddington's Great Escape.
Paddington's Great Escape.
To capture some of that old Steve McQueen, Charles Bronson harshness of escaping, of escape films. 1960s escape films.
Do I find a double entendre where Paddington is escaping from prison? He's maybe escaping from the past.
Yes.
And you're looking at, like you said, some of the Steve McQueen or Clint Eastwood escape from Alcatraz.
James Gardner. Oh, yeah.
So the Great Escape. I like it.
Paddington's Great Escape, but also just the escapism of this classic filmmaking where you have to believe the unbelievable.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
The complete farce. Yeah, the complete farce of the scenario. It's, you know, it's a bear talking, obviously.
Wait, he's a bear?
In and of itself is something. Awesome. Thanks again. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Jim, for chatting with me.
Yeah, Ted, it's always a pleasure. I like talking movies, talking trailers, and, you know, you enjoy your weekend. And hey, everybody, thanks for listening.
Subscribe on Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play.
Find us at TrailerJunkiesPodcast.com, Facebook page, Trailer Junkies Podcast, Twitter at TJunkiesPodcast.
Have a good night. Talk to you next week.
Yeah, you have a good night. Talk to you soon.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rogelio for the music.